Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Egyptian king. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, running up the wing.
Ooh, so, yeah. I love that.
Love it. Performed brilliantly, too. Oh.
Everyone's got their thing. Fanatics.
Hey, guys, and welcome to today's episode of Fanatics. Woo! I'm Claire Kramer, and I am here along with my amazing co-host,
Jake Maron. And I couldn't be happier, Claire. Because this week we're diving into football. Oh, wait, never mind. It's soccer. But I'm excited still.
That's interesting. We are talking about soccer. We are talking about football. We are talking about the Premier League. And we are specifically talking about Liverpool, which is an amazing Premier club. But Jake, yes. I'm really interested in the fact that you couldn't be happier. Now, tell me about that. You're at peak happiness, apex happiness right now?
I'm getting close to apex happiness, and the main reason is because our guest today, Ames McNamara, his energy and love for Liverpool, it just, like, it hyped me up, you know?
Yeah.
And you can see Ames, of course, you know, he's on The Conners, you saw him on Roseanne, but his energy and love for Liverpool, my God, it's making me rethink everything in my life, Claire.
I mean, that is really... That is amazing that this conversation has had such a deep impact on you. I love that, Jake. Yep. I love where you are mentally and emotionally. And guess what, guys? It's your turn to join Jake on the happy train after listening to this episode of Fanatics right now with Ames.
Get ready. All right, Ames, tell me why I shouldn't call it soccer.
Well, okay, so I'm a little split on this because I call it soccer too. But, I mean, really, obviously, I think we can all agree it doesn't make logical sense to call it soccer. But, I mean, I feel like calling it soccer is fine. I'm fine with calling it soccer. That's how me and all my friends call it. So.
Okay, good. And just so everybody knows, we are talking about not just football or soccer. We are talking about Liverpool Football Club. So, Ames, for someone who has been living literally on the moon, could you describe and encapsulate what Liverpool is and means to you?
Okay. So Liverpool plays in the Premier League, which is the English Soccer League. They're one of, in my opinion, the best team in the Premier League. But, you know, they're not always, this season's not the best. But Liverpool, I think they're a club that is very focused on the fans. I think that they have, you know, a lot of passion. Their stadium, Anfield, it's one of for opponents, it's one of the scariest places to go to. Because, like, Liverpool fans are known to just be always behind their team. So I just see it as, one, a team that does really well, and, you know, I can have some successes to cheer for, and also just a community like that I think I'm proud to be a part of.
Community, fandom, I like those two words a lot. That's what Fanatics is all about. When you mention how passionate the fans are with Liverpool, give us some examples. Like, what can you expect if you go in and you're going to sit in the middle of their massive fan section?
I would say nonstop singing. I think that's the thing that they're known for. The main song that they sing is You Never Walk Alone. And it's like, so, and I think that sort of also pretty much encapsulates it. And it's like, you know, as a Liverpool supporter, you're never going to walk alone. You're always going to have, like, a community that is going to come together and support this team that you're rooting for. So, yeah, lots of singing, lots of cheering, and definitely passion.
And you talk about this community. Obviously, it's worldwide. I mean, how wide does this community go?
I mean, across the world, it's, you know, what's interesting is a lot of people might not know is like the Premier League and English League is really so popular in the US. All my friends who follow soccer, if you follow soccer, you follow the Premier League, almost 100% guaranteed. And they have games, like preseason games all over the world sometimes. You know, there's fan clubs I know all around the world. So yeah, it's definitely global. I mean, soccer as a sport is global, so it makes sense. But these top clubs and the Premier League, are really, you can find fans anywhere.
And Ames, who are some of the stars right now for Liverpool?
So my favorite player back of the jersey I'm wearing right now, his name's Virgil van Dijk. He's a Dutch center back, very calm, cool, collected. We've got Mo Salah. He's record-breaking Egyptian attacker. Our goalkeeper, Alisson Becker. I mean, really, we have quality across all levels of the pitch.
So for someone like you who is a part of this community but lives in the States, so isn't able to go to every Liverpool game or even probably watch every game because all the Premier games are not played in the States or aired in the States, I should say. How do you engage with – is there an online fan base for folks that aren't able to actually be there in person? Or how do you guys keep that connection of community and fandom going?
Well, I have several different apps where I follow every bit of soccer news. But I think the main way that I stay connected to the sport in Liverpool is through my friends. Mm. And not all my friends support the same team. Actually, my best friend, the team he supports is Liverpool's main rival, one of their main rivals, Manchester United. And so it's funny to say this, but the main way that I constantly stay connected to it is by arguing and debating and just say, oh, did you see this win? Oh, did you see that? So I think having a group of friends who all follow the sport and know what's going on, you know, we can send each other stuff or and just talk about it. Yeah, that's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah.
That's big. For me, that's a big part of the fun of supporting a team. You know, I have my text message groups that I send out.
Oh, yeah.
Different stuff whenever the Cowboys play. I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan, Ames. But let me ask you, because you say your friends don't all root for the same team, how did you get into Liverpool?
Good question.
So it's actually a funny story. So one of the executive producers on the show, he's actually one of the owners of Liverpool. So very interesting. I had been a follower of the sport ever since the 2014 World Cup. That's really what got me into soccer. And, you know, again, my friends, people talking about it. And do any of you know about have you ever heard of the World Cup sticker book?
Yes.
Tell me.
Talk about it, though. It's okay. Very cool. Yeah.
So this is probably one of my favorite things. And this is really honestly what got me into soccer. So in 2014 was the World Cup, and every year Panini, the company Panini, puts out a sticker book where it has all the team rosters participating in the World Cup, and you get packs and you have stickers of all the players and you have to like paste them in, you get to trade. And so since then, that's been one of my favorite things about the World Cup is the sticker book. I did it in 2014, did it in 2018, did it in 2022. But so yeah, so that's how I got into soccer. But yeah, the sticker book's amazing.
I love it. The sticker books are so... All right, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Just to go a little deeper into the sticker books, are you obsessive about them like some of these other fans who will literally attack other people for these stickers?
I wouldn't go that far. And honestly, a lot of my books, they're not even that filled. But it's more just like the trading with friends, trying if you... Because obviously you're going to get a lot of duplicates. It's just sort of, you know, the World Cup mood is very special mood. And to me, that sticker book is like essential part of it.
For sure. But that's international. Yeah. Liverpool obviously is not part of the World Cup. So continue, please.
Yeah, sorry. So yeah, that's how I got into soccer. And you know, like I said, the Premier League is literally probably the premier league in world football. So I was following that a lot. But I didn't really have a team. So then the executive producer, who happens to be the owner, one of the owners of Liverpool, said, you know, you should, if you're following the league, you should really just support Liverpool. And I said, okay. And it just so happened that year, that was 2018. And that year was one of their best seasons. They won their sixth Champions League. But then, honestly, so I'll tell you, then the issue becomes for me, then people will say to me, Ames, you're a little bit like, you're a bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, 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 you don't understand. I started following at the start of the season before any of this happened. And then, so it looks like, I, still to this day, my friends will just, in all in an argument, if all else fails, oh, okay, but you're a bandwagon. I'm like, come on, guys, like, we're past this.
Okay, I think it's really interesting that your favorite player is center back, because that, first of all, is he a lefty or a righty?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just interested because my son, who's 10, so he has time to make it to Liverpool or, you know, the World Cup, but a little bit of time. But he is a center back. And I remember when they originally moved him to that position, the coach was like, imagine the coolest guy, what, like, the, you know, the most desirable guy walking into a bar and then saying he's a center back lefty. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the perfect position. So what is it about that position that really attracts you? You know, it's a tough position and not always appreciated, left open for exposure often.
Yeah, I mean, the attackers are obviously the players who might get the most focus, might get the most attention because they're the ones scoring the goals. But I think what's interesting about Virgil van Dijk, he got almost the same attention you would give to an attacker just because the way he went about it, you know, he was arguably at a certain point the best player in the world, attackers and defenders. And for me, what I appreciate about him, like I was saying, he's very calm. He never stresses. He doesn't worry. Like, there's no frantic, a franticness to his play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what you need at the heart of defense. You need someone who can, like, be a strong leader, but also be able to calm everyone down and just say, like, come on, like,
yes,
focus.
Like, distribute the ball in a calm manner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now I really want to watch Liverpool even more to check out your favorite player. Did you play soccer or football?
Yeah, I did, and I still do. I'm not that great, but I play on my school team. So yeah, I'm a much better follower of soccer than I am a player of soccer. But it doesn't mean that I still can't have fun playing soccer. And, you know, even just on a daily basis at the park playing soccer with my friends. Yeah, just it's very
100%.
Fun.
The thing I love about soccer is I feel there's a place for everybody at every mm-hmm. level. You know what I mean? There definitely is.
Totally.
Now, Ames, have you ever been over to Liverpool?
No, I've seen them once. They came to New York City at Yankee Stadium. They played a preseason game. Like I was saying, they go a different country or all over the world every year. It was a preseason, so like some of their players were still on vacation or whatever. But it was still super amazing experience. I mean, I got to see all the players and see the trophy that they had just won, the Champions League trophy. Uh-huh. So yeah, it was, even though it was a friendly, it was like such a cool experience.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. You're walking into, you said Yankee Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which in and of itself is a great place to see anything, you know, because it's just right? So iconic.
Very cool.
It's crazy. Uh-huh. It's like Wrigley Stadium. So you're walking into Yankee Stadium for a different sport. What is going on, Ames, inside you? Are you so excited? Are you yelling? Are you jumping around? What are you wearing and how are you feeling?
I was wearing, because part of me wanted to wear a jersey, but then I was like, you know what? I'll play it cool. And I wore a nice button-down t-shirt. That's what I was wearing.
Okay.
And what was going through my mind, I mean, I was so excited. And I just remember, like, I was like, I kept turning to my parents and my sister. I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah, it was, and going back to the singing, in the subway after the game, everyone was singing, even though it was like a tie. Everyone was singing and having fun.
That is so awesome.
I love it.
The subway out of Yankee Stadium is such a fun experience because it's like the party just moves down underground.
You know? Yeah.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Did you have any marquee moments in that game or any moment other than the whole overall experience where you're just like, I cannot believe I'm here watching this?
Well, but right before the start of the second half, I got to go really in the dugout because, you know, it's Yankee Stadium, and watch the players come out. And as they're coming out for the second half, and I gave the coach, Jurgen Klopp, amazing guy, by the way. He's a reason why you should watch Liverpool. He's just such a like funny, cool guy. I got to give him a high five. I got to give some of the other players a high five. And yeah, that's probably the top moment of that trip.
Tell us about the scarf hanging behind you.
Okay, so this actually, I think I got this at that game. I now that I'm thinking about this, I got it at that game. Okay. So it's Champions, but you see, it's like a six where the A is supposed to be, and that's because that's after they won their sixth Champions League. So yeah, Champions of Europe. That's what it says.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that you went with your family to the game. So I'm curious, is this something that you share with the family, or is this an Ames thing that they support?
This is just an Ames thing. I've sort of gotten my family to have a little bit of interest in it, but no one is matching my my level of passion and excitement for soccer and Liverpool. I mean, I know in like a lot of my friends who watch soccer, it's like their whole family watches it. It's like a whole family thing. But really, for me, it's like most of the time, it's just me.
And what would be your ideal scenario? If you could be part of the Liverpool, if they were like, hey, Ames, this summer, we'd love to have you over in Liverpool. We'd like you to be part of the team. Like, what would you be doing that would integrate you with the team for that one summer?
I mean, ooh, that's a good question. I think, you know, everyone always said, like, coach is, like, obvious answer, but obviously, like, assistant coach. But also, what really interests me, they have a unique model of when they're looking at transfers. Their approach is very data-driven. Like, they have a computer algorithms and data. There was, like, I think there was a pretty good article in the New York Times about it. And so I would be interested in learning more about that and seeing how that world works. Because that's something, it's very also specific to them. I mean, I think I'm sure it's now more widely adopted by different clubs, but they were a pioneer of like when they're looking at players, they're looking like specific data points. So they're very selective with their transfer. Sometimes it frustrates Liverpool fans because you see all of our rivals are spending $500 million in a transfer window and Liverpool are like, oh, okay, we're going to renew a 36-year-old's contract. But it's part of it is like frustrating, but also part of it's like you got to appreciate that they're not just buying at random. They're being very selective about who they're buying.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And you know, it makes me think about the game itself and also like the people around them, because soccer's known for hooligans. Are there hooligans and fights at Liverpool games?
I mean, I would think so. There was this one, and especially when it's rivalry matches. I mean, the one example that comes to mind is, I wouldn't really know this, it's not like hooliganism, but after Liverpool were playing their rivals, Everton, who also are in the town of Liverpool, it's like the two stadiums are like a quarter mile apart.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's called the Merseyside Derby whenever they play. And after Mo Salah scored a goal, there's this really good picture. I'm pretty sure it was this game. Someone threw a red flare onto the field. And it was like this awesome picture of him after he stands goal, just like standing and this red smoke coming up behind him.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty cool, right? Right. Yeah. It was like just showing him the color, like, you know, I love football. Soccer, whatever, fans, because they seem to go the extra mile. Is there a sport that you would compare it to here in the States? Or Liverpool, excuse me, forget the sport. Is there a team that you would compare Liverpool to? You know, we're talking about the Yankees. You know, they're a team that are always in it, but they don't win every year. You know, a team like that, the Lakers, the Cowboys, any team.
I don't know. I mean, well, I do want to say about the sport, though. I don't think soccer can be compared to any sport. I think the fans, the passion that's behind it is so unique to, like, you will not see the level of passion from the fans, the emotions that you feel from soccer. I strongly believe that you will not get it from any other sport. Even while we were filming the Connors, I got the opportunity to go to the MLS final, and which was in LA, and it was LAFC versus the Philadelphia Union. Mm-hmm. And the LAFC fans, like, blew me away. Their home end was like, they had like this, it's like called a TIFO, like a big, like, I don't even know how to describe it, like a character image before the game, flares, like singing.
The falcon so coming down, and yeah.
You would not see that type of passion in another sport. I just am going to say that.
Okay, good answer. And does Liverpool have anything, you know, you just talk about the falcon coming down, you talk about all this kind of stuff. What are Liverpool's traditions, if you will?
Well, you never walk alone. That's their biggest tradition. Mm-hmm. They sing it usually at the start and the end of every match. They have a bunch of other songs like that they always sing. I'm trying to think, because that's the biggest thing. Every soccer team, especially England, has very specific set of chants. And in England, like, chants and songs are a lot more creative, popular. Yeah, I'm trying to think about, I mean, they always usually wear red. They're the Reds. Yeah, but mostly songs and chants.
Well, Ames, do us a favor. Can you give us a little chant or a little song? Not too much, just a little taste.
I'll tell you Mo Salah's chant, because that's a very quick chant.
Perfect.
Okay. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Egyptian king. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, running up the wing.
Ooh, so, yeah. I love that.
Love it. Performed brilliantly, too. So there are actually chants for all the players.
Yeah, even sometimes they're just as simple as the players' names. Like, there's a midfielder, Thiago Alcantara, and his chant is just, Thiago Alcantara, and that's it.
Simple.
But my favorite chant, besides, like, you never walk alone, there's a striker who's actually, in and of itself, his name is Roberto Firmino, or just everyone calls him Bobby. And he sort of reinvented the striker position, where he doesn't score a lot of goals. He plays a lot deeper, and his job is more connecting the midfield and assisting and linking the play. He does a lot of, I think his work goes a lot of under the radar a lot. And he's actually leaving Liverpool in the summer, but, you know, he's sort of getting up there. Not that he's super old, but, you know, his time at Liverpool is coming to end. He's sort of getting replaced, but his chant is a whole song, and it's "Si, senor, pass the ball to Bobby and he will score. Our number nine, give him the ball and he'll score every time." And it keeps going. There's a lot more to it, but so yeah.
I love that. I love the chanting. So what is the entry point for discovering Liverpool? For somebody who has not, maybe they're a football soccer fan, maybe not, but they haven't, like, gotten into the team. What is your entry point for educating them and getting them passionate like you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say, first off, you know, you don't have to like Liverpool, but if you're a fan of soccer and you want to really watch good soccer on the regular, you should just be watching the Premier League. And, you know, naturally you might gravitate towards one team or another. But if you want to get to know Liverpool, just start watching Liverpool games. It's pretty simple, simple as that. And, you know, that's how I learned about Liverpool. Even, you know, sometimes you could hear the chants on TV. That's how loud they are. You know, and the commentators always provide a lot of information. So I would say just watch as many games as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good. It's definitely something, being a player, the more time on the ball, the more skills you develop. So I think actually watching is the same for being a fan. Like, the more you watch, the more you learn, and the more you can get into it.
Absolutely.
So let's see. We've gone over the sort of experience of walking into Yankee Stadium. Let's imagine you are in Liverpool. What are the smells and sounds, other than the chants, but, like, what food is happening? What merch is happening? What is the whole atmosphere before you get in there and then after you leave the stadium?
Well, food is actually, that's something interesting because I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
And they're Liverpool, and one of their sponsors is a fake meat company called Corn. So I've heard that they actually have a lot of vegetarian, like fake meat stuff at their stadium. So Ooh. That's kind of cool for me. That's like, okay, bonus point.
Yeah.
But I think I just would imagine it's very loud. Scarves, as like the one behind me, very popular also in soccer, like to have, and especially in England, to have all those scarves. And, you know, Anfield is their stadium, and it's pretty big. And people describe it as like a fortress. So I would imagine I probably would not be able to contain myself, really.
Is there one game you would love to go to? Like one match between two, you know, Liverpool and another team? And who would that be?
Liverpool, Man United, absolutely. No hesitation.
No question.
It's their biggest historic rival. Always feels the best to beat them. Even if, you know, we're both not rivals in the season, like in terms of competing for the trophy, it's just a rivalry that sort of will always continue. And honestly, recently, Liverpool has been killing them. Their last game against them, 7-0. Unheard
that's
of
crazy.
In soccer.
Yeah.
You know, wow. That's... And like I was saying, my best friend's a Man U fan, so I just... was that sweet. Every
wow.
time a goal came, just another text.
Is that game of the year so far?
Probably game of the year. You know, honestly, I'll tell you, this has not been a really great season for Liverpool. We're out of contention for any trophies. We've had some injury problems, and we're really, our only hope is to be able to qualify to get to the Champions League next season. And even then, that looks tricky. So that was a bright spot.
I hate hearing that they're not doing well, but what I like hearing is how passionate you are, even though they're not doing well. So talk about why that's not going to stop you from being a fan.
I mean, I think the highs and lows are very much a part of the sport. You know, Liverpool actually can consider themselves lucky to have experienced really good success within the past couple of years. I mean, this is still one of the best periods in the history of Liverpool. But other teams, even in the Premier League, like, not to hate on Tottenham, but Tottenham, it's a known thing. They have not won a trophy since ever. And, you know, there are fans in England of teams in like the third division, and, you know, they're still just as passionate as ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes back to soccer, but I think I feel like that's true of all sports. You know, people can accept, hey, my team is not going to do the best every single year, but you can still have fun watching them. And at a certain point, you're like, okay, let's see how many goals they'll concede today. But yeah, just sticking by it is a part of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. How gentle were you with your friend about the Man U loss?
not that gentle, because I know he would do the same thing to me if Man U would have beaten them by a lot. You know, honestly, the thing was too, every Man U fan was thinking that they were going to win because Man U were doing really well that season, and Liverpool have not been doing well. Liverpool came out of nowhere, pulled it out. I couldn't believe
soccer
it.
Soccer works that way. Losses sneak up on you, and wins are not given. Like,
anything is possible. Anything is possible in this sport. And that's honestly some of the attraction too. It's like, even in the Premier League, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you heard about this, Leicester City, not considered one of the top teams at all, won the whole thing, won the Premier League.
Yeah.
And that's still one of the craziest things. Like, everyone was like, how did this happen? But it can happen.
There's also something really attractive to me about the sport because you don't need a lot of gear. You know, you're not on an apparatus. There's not a lot of equipment. You got your shin guards. You got maybe ankle wraps and a great shoe and a great ball. And that is it. You know,
yep.
And whether maybe if you're the goalie, gloves, you know, and a little extra padding. But there's something really appealing to me, the how stripped down the sport is. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, that's part of the global appeal of it. I mean, you see in countries all across the world, people are just playing in the streets, you know, barefoot, even with a ball that probably is a little bit past new. But you can just play and come together And I think that that's completely right. It's one of those sports. And I mean, in a way, basketball is like that too, but it's a little bit less worldwide, you know, but, mm-hmm. and soccer really, as long as you got a little bit of open space, you can play.
Yeah. Basketball, you need a hoop. Soccer?
Yeah.
You can make anything a goal. And I think that's a big difference there. Man, Ames, you're making me want to watch Liverpool.
Good.
If there's one thing you want to tell people to sell Liverpool, though, anything you left out, here's your shot before the love letter. Just give it to us here.
Okay. I would say, well, if you're picking a soccer team to follow, you should pick a team that is going to – I think Liverpool is very unique because they're blending the ability to experience success, which is whereas a team like Man City, who has won everything in the past couple of years, I can admire them, but all they do is spend money and there's no real passion behind it. Mm. If you want a team that has history, if you want a team that has like a really committed fan base, I would say Liverpool's the team for you.
I love it. I love it. I was just going to ask before we go, if there's no Liverpool game on, if there's no replay, if there's nothing there, will you turn on a Man United game? Will you turn on, you know, LAFC? Or is it really just about having the sport be played by your team?
I will watch any soccer game. I mean, I watch most things, but I will watch any soccer game. If Man U is playing, let's say it's like another good, very good team, then, you know, of course it's a big match. I'm going to watch it. And especially in the Champions League where it's all European teams, you know, I'll just, if Liverpool's not playing, I'm going to want to watch it. You know, it's a big match, but obviously you don't get the emotional feeling, the fear inside your inside your gut when the other team's racing forward that you do with Liverpool. And I think that's one of the best things about sports in general is having a team to root for.
I totally agree. And with that, Ames, would you please regale us with your love letter to Liverpool Football Club?
Okay. All right. So think about this for a second. Okay. Dear Liverpool, I've been a fan for a few years now, and I just want to say thank you for introducing me to the Premier League and introducing me further to the Premier League and introducing me to this community of fans who are probably the best fans in the world. I want to say thanks for the winning all these trophies. It's been fun to experience that. But also, you know, I'll still be with you through the low times that we're having right now. And I've never seen a level of passion anywhere else. And thanks for winning so I can rub it in all my friends' faces. love, Ames.
Love, Ames. Amazing.
Amazing.
We're done.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Do you call it you said you call it soccer.
I mean, I call it soccer because to me, football is football. You know, I'm from Texas, so that's just how it is.
Right. Football's football, soccer's soccer. But, you know, during the World Cup in last year in 2022, they did have a lot of publicity, especially with Team USA, which did make a good showing for us, where they had a lot of fans wearing shirts that said it's called soccer. So, you know, I mean, it's traditionally football, but I mean, we're this big country over here embracing that tradition. So maybe we should call it schmootball.
Well,
or focker.
Focker works. Focker. I like that.
That kind of could go downhill really quickly, though, with the fans, drunk fans, lots of pints and Fokker is not sounding like it would work out well. Either way, now I have such youth knowledge, but I don't have enough, like, I definitely watched the whole World Cup, and I'm, you know, I've talked about the aspirations for my boys to play in the World Cup in a few years, 2 decades, you know, 8 years down the road, 12 years down the road. But Liverpool, I got to get more into it. Next time I am in the UK, I'm going to make it a point to go to one of the Premier League games. I don't know if it'll be Liverpool, Man United, or, you know, one of the small, I like the Ryan Reynolds, like, football mm-hmm. club mm-hmm. that's happening. Are you Wrexham. Watching that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wrexham is amazing. Oh my gosh, Blake Lively, she is so funny. I love their relationship. She just tweeted something the other day, and I'm not going to do it justice, so I'll put it, you know, on Twitter myself when this episode airs, but it was something about how they just had to pay millions and millions of dollars to watch her husband, like, cry. Oh, here's what it was. She said, I just subscribed to, you know, Soccer Plus and, like, ESPN2 so that I could watch my husband cry on national TV when they lost. Ay, ay, ay. It is a culture, though, and I think that's what Ames really, like, got in on, is, like, it's not just a one-off thing. It's not just, oh, it's fun to watch. It is, like, a complete culture, and that's what makes it so attractive.
And I don't say soccer with any disrespect. I'm actually excited to learn more about soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. And you know what? Calling it football makes more sense, frankly, because it's kicking the ball with your foot. So, you know.
Right. Footy is the short term. Footy. Footy club.
I'm excited to find out more about the Liverpool Footy Club. And, you know, hopefully I can catch a game live soon, Claire. That'd be awesome.
I know. Come over. I have all the soccer channels right now. I have never canceled all the ones I added for the World Cup. So, I mean, I might as well hang in 3.5 more years, you know, and not get my subscription back down to where it should be. To that note, we are dropping new episodes every Thursday. Yep. Yes, yep. Every Thursday. So if you are a fan of Fanatics, as we're fans of you, our listeners, share with your friends. Let them know, hey, I got this podcast I like. It's about cool stuff. Spread the word, because sharing is caring. And you can spread the word through wearefanatics.com, which has all our episodes, or our Twitter at wearefanatics.
And see you next Thursday.
That's right. Bye, guys.
All right, guys. Next week, we have an amazing episode with somebody I've known for a number of years, Avital Ash. And she is a fantastic stand-up comedian, actress, writer. She does it all. So come by next week, because we're going to be talking about Leonard Cohen and her absolute love for him and his music.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.